So, Vicky, this month, George Martin, also sometimes referred to as the Fifth Beatle, passed away. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about his legacy and why he's known as the Fifth Beatle, what his contribution was to the Beatles' music and to music more generally. So thanks for doing this. I know you've done your homework on George Martin.
Yeah, and that's somebody that I really have grown up with. You always heard about George Martin, and certainly in connection with the Beatles. So, yes, he died early in March, and this is a guy that had almost six decades of active work and participation in music as a record producer, a conductor, a composer, an arranger. He was an audio engineer, and he was just this incredible musical person. You know, he played oboe and piano, and I think what I've always gathered from interviews and stuff, he was sort of the quintessential perfect English gentleman that came into the lives of the Beatles, who were, very nice lads, but having a different experience, perhaps. He was working for EMI and Parlophone, and he was looking for that next great pop group, that next great fireproof magic band. And somebody mentioned Brian Epstein's name to him, the manager of the Beatles, and it just took off from there.
And so in doing a little bit of reading on George Martin, you get the impression that he was the one who was maybe pushing the Beatles to really do more with their sound than they might otherwise have, and that he was maybe responsible for some of the things that we think of as being the most quintessential aspects of the Beatles' sound. Could you maybe talk a little bit about what those things were and what role he played in the process as they were recording their albums?
When you think about his formal musical expertise and training, that's what he brought to the table that set the Beatles' music kind of in a different light. Even if they've just been one exquisite pop song after another, his touches were what put the Beatles' sound, you know, over there or up there. It set it apart because of the orchestrations and the arrangements. And you can think of some of the songs off the top of your head. Think about how Penny Lane sounds.
Penny Lane is in my ears and in my eyes.
Eleanor Rigby.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps.
Those songs that are so beautifully and fully orchestrated, Yesterday.
Oh, I believe in yesterday, suddenly.
I mean, that was just an acoustic guitar and Paul, and it's raised it to that level of what we come to know Beatles music to sound like. That was him, and they were so talented, and I think Paul especially resonated with him because Paul worked with him way past the Beatles stuff. That's how they knew they could grow together as a band with this very steady, wonderful person in their corner who helped them make the music that they heard in their heads.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Beatles evolved so much over the course of their relatively actually kind of short career.
Mm-hmm.
But what was George Martin's role in helping to sort of shape the sound that is now more associated with the Beatles' kind of psychedelic period, and as they get later into their career, where was George Martin in all of that, as far as you know?
Well, I think of Sgt. Pepper's, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band when I think of that, although Revolver, there are moments in Revolver, certainly, but Sgt. Pepper's, there's a few famous stories. One of them is being for the benefit of Mr. Kite. John had brought in a circus poster, and some of the lyrics to that song are taken directly from that poster. And they started talking about it's this benefit, it's this circus, it's this crazy psychedelic atmosphere. And they had taken some stuff that was recorded. George did, had his engineer cut all the tape up into pieces, throw them in the air, gather them back up, and tape them. You know, back in the days when you had to go ahead and make it all work that way. There was no digital. You had to get that razor blade and tape back out and put it together so it would have a more chaotic and, you know, maybe a little off-kilter sound. That was the kind of thing he was willing to work with. And that's the moment where he's like, wow, we could make a calliope sound here. You know, so he was always willing to think. For such a straight-ahead kind of staid man, he was sure willing to get crazy with the Beatles.
So just a thought experiment. What would the Beatles have been without George Martin? How would they have sounded? How would their career have gone differently?
Well, clearly, you know, these are talented men. You certainly are dealing with an amazing rock and roll band, and you are certainly dealing with people who wanted to keep moving to the next step. I don't think it would be some of those moments. Like, as we're talking, I just keep thinking of the beginning of All You Need Is Love with the horns bursting forth. It would have been a much different band. They still would have been very, very good. But I think it's those little magical moments that you carry with you that are George Martin's brand and his way of thinking of a Beatles song.
Well, George Martin passed away earlier this month. And Vicki, thank you so much for giving us a little background on him.
Oh, fun. I always love talking about the Beatles.
That was Vicki Gregor and Jake Brownell discussing the life and work of George Martin, a.k.a. the Fifth Beatle. This is Air Check from KRCC. Stay with us. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy.